like? Kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
All right, Gugu's going to stay around because there are a few things that you and I will hash out. And it is a bit more, it's not as straightforward as where you and I have just left it. But let me quickly get some reaction. And others are still in Parliament, as we can all understand. By the way, welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimela Mutine. And thank you so much for being with us. So as things stand, you may have all heard that the fiscal framework of 2025 has now been adopted in Parliament, 194 for 182 against. So those are the numbers there. As you can see, obviously quite tight. Action SA, in this instance, were the kingmakers, we've got to tell you. So on the line with us is Action SA parliamentary leader, Ethel Trollope. Thank you so much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you for your time and good evening to your listeners.
So you must have heard by now that there are, questions around procedurally what happened yesterday and whether that then allowed for the process to go on today to voting for the budget.
Yes, of course, I've heard that. And this is an unprecedented situation. No one in the democratic South Africa has ever experienced it before. So, you know, we were feeling our way through this process. And, you know, if people want to challenge and go to court, they're free to do that. We've participated in the Finance Committee to the best of our abilities, to the best of our knowledge. I even wrote to the chairperson of the committee to say that they must have legal advisors there so that there would be no missteps. And we went through the process, and then obviously we were vilified yesterday because we had the casting vote as Action SA, but the ANC and the IFP and ourselves voted for the fiscal framework on condition that our recommendations that VAT not be increased and that income tax bracket creep be avoided due to inflation and adjusted due according to inflation. And that report was endorsed by the committee, but no committee reports are passed by a committee. They get passed by Parliament. Mm-hmm. So we were in Parliament today, and 194 members of Parliament and a whole number of parties voted in favor of the report with our recommendations. So as far as we're concerned, we did what we had to do, mm-hmm. and now we're going to wait for the ANC and the Treasury to come up with proposals on how they're going to avoid making people pay an additional 0.5% of VAT. But our biggest motivator was to get this budget impasse out of the way because it's causing insecurity and uncertainty all over the country and the world. We've seen the value of the rand tumbling, and we need to stop this impasse. And the impasse was caused between members of the GNU. The two biggest parties in the GNU couldn't find themselves or find each other over 9 months to pass this budget.
Mr. Trollope, you make a very important point about that you voted for this on condition that there was no VAT increase. And apart from the fact that that was an arrangement that you had with the ANC, you also believe that, you know, that was taken into account in the report that was submitted. But lawmakers are saying there is no provision for the conditionality and still be adopted.
Well, you know, we're dealing with politics here, and the reality is that we have a budget impasse because the governing parties cannot agree. So we have been negotiating with the ANC to say we believe that the budget gap can easily be fixed by increased revenue collection and also reduced wasteful expenditure. And that is where we got our motivation in the committee. Now, it was passed by the committee and it was passed by Parliament. And those parties that believe that there's no provision for that in law, you know, in politics, sometimes you've got to be pragmatic. And to resolve an impasse, you've got to be even more pragmatic. So that's what we've done. Mm. We are steadfast in our opposition to an increase in VAT, and we will oppose any increase in VAT. So if the ANC and Treasury and Parliament can't find a solution to the VAT issue, mm-hmm. when it comes to voting finally for the budget, this was voting for the fiscal framework, we still have the opportunity to vote against the budget. But our objective is to stop this uncertainty and get the budget passed. It's been 42 days since the original budget was supposed to have been tabled. And this insecurity and waiting and fighting and uncertainty is not doing South Africa good at all.
So, in other words, if your understanding of what you thought was happening yesterday and it turns out that actually it cannot be conditional, then you're not going to be voting for the budget.
No.
We
will not vote for a VAT increase.
That's
and
what
we
I'm
will
saying.
Not vote for personal income tax creep. That we won't vote. And we've shown, and so has Treasury shown, and the South African Revenue Services. They've shown that they can collect that 28 billion, which is a drop in the ocean in a 2 trillion rand budget. So we believe that SARS today tabled a report where they collected 1.855 trillion rand as the major revenue stream for South Africa. And it was 8.8 billion rand more than they anticipated and 114 billion rand more than they collected last year. So we say that's where the solution is. Empower and capacitate SARS to go after undeclared tax, people that are operating in the black market and people who are operating illegally, and foreign nationals that operate outside of our economy. That's where we can collect the money to balance this budget so that poor South Africans don't have to pay for it.
And so just to be clear, if the ANC and the minister goes ahead and does not take into account your request on the VAT, you will not be supporting it.
Well, you know, there are a number of processes in this debate, and today was one step in the process to finalization of the debate. This budget will be finalized in June, and by June, and in fact by the end of this month, we'll know whether we can find the money in additional revenue and wasteful expenditure, and we believe that that can easily be done. So we believe that is what will happen.
Yes, but that's answering the one part of the question. I'm speaking specifically on the budget, on the VAT.
I've said that already. I told you that up front, that if the ANC doesn't fulfill their undertakings and commitments to us to find and balance this budget and do not change the proposed tax increase, then we have the opportunity to vote against it when it comes before Parliament.
Action SA Parliamentary Leader, Ethel Trollope, thank you so much for your time. Sanga Zazibi, Rise Mzansi Leader, also on the line with us this evening. A very good evening to you, Mr. Zibi. You've always made the point that, yes, everybody speaks about the VAT element, but there are many other things we should be focusing on. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thank you. Yes, there are many issues that we should be focusing on. And it's not just taxes. Taxes are really important. One of my personal frustrations was the fact that there was an effective 19 billion rand personal tax increase, which we still need to solve because the budget as we have right now still has that element in. But what we need to do over the next few weeks is to find alternatives. As long as those alternatives are still within the same fiscal framework, and if they can be supported by other political parties, then they will carry and we can implement those changes.
What do you make of the argument that yesterday's proceedings were not procedural and lawful?
Yes, so, I mean, I heard the argument today in the National Assembly. We don't serve on the Standing Committee on Finance.
Sure.
I had my own meeting concurrently.
Yeah.
Fine. I think since the matter has been taken to court, and I hope the court can resolve it on an urgent basis, then we will know where we stand. It is disputed. The other parties, like the XNFA and others, believe that the procedures were followed. The EFF and the DA and MKP believe that they were not.
And so your thoughts are that let's rather wait for the courts to clarify.
Let's wait for the courts. We honestly have not taken legal advice on it. We have no opportunity to do so. Ahead of the session this afternoon. So if I offer the view one way or the other, I may get something wrong and I don't want to do that.
I understand. So you at this point in time accept the fact that this was highly contested, but you're satisfied with the outcome?
But I mean, satisfied is not exactly the word to use. There's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of work to be done over the next couple of weeks. By next week sometime, we will send our proposals to the Standing Committee on Finance as well as the Finance Minister pertaining to what else we can do in order to get to a point where we remove the VAT increase as well as increase to personal income taxes of 19 billion rand.
Appreciate it.
There are no easy choices because everything we choose is going to be contested by others. So I think it's important for South Africans to understand that you can never have a budget that satisfies everybody. Our job as Rise and Zanzi is to fight as hard as we can for the outcomes we believe are going to serve South Africans. But it was important that the framework itself is approved by Parliament. That is the size of the budget and whether we're going to increase borrowing or not, because that would also be dangerous. And one of the decisions taken today was that we will not increase borrowing, but it's kind of gotten lost in the noise. The budget has also not been increased beyond what the finance minister proposed. So we have a budget limit that has passed today. So nobody can come with a proposal that increases the budget with money we don't have.
Appreciate your time, Songa Zibi. Thank you so much. Rise Mzansi leader, ATM leader, Vuyo Zungula, thank you so much for your time. You are disappointed. You've expressed it as such. Good evening and welcome.
Evening, Pamela, to all of your listeners as well. We are definitely disappointed that Parliament takes such a regressive direction where it shifts the blame to ordinary poor South African citizens when it comes to funding the shortfall. Because if you look at how they've always done, even in 2018 when there was a budget shortfall, they just went after ordinary citizens by increasing VAT. They lied to people back then and said they will reconsider VAT once the economy grows, they're going to take it down. But they did not do any of that. Instead, today, they voted again for another VAT increase. Whereas there's other alternatives, I'll make mention of a few. Firstly, there's wealth tax, which has proven successful in terms of raising additional revenue in Switzerland and Luxembourg. But in South Africa, the country with the highest inequality, rich people are feared when it comes to being taxed for the money they make in South Africa. That's why even there's a problem of illicit financial flows where multinational companies are draining our fiscals. They do not even pay taxes in a proper way. They're involved in profit shift. And all of that is money that could be, if there was appetite from the government, it was going to fund the shortfall. And the last issue here, no matter how much parties can spin what happened today, the reality is that those parties voted that instead of shielding and protecting poor people from VAT increments and going after rich multinational companies via wealth tech, fighting IFFs, and also the minerals and petroleum industry. Pamela, in 2022, the amount that was collected by VAT was 16 times higher or 16 times more than the amount collected from royalties in the mining and petroleum industries. Meaning, yes, we are rich in mineral resources, but there's no real benefit to South Africans. It is only South African citizens who are made to pay via VAT and other things. So for us as a party, we took a principled position to say we cannot support any increment of the VAT that will further impoverish poor people, whereas there are other alternatives that could be explored.
I really appreciate your time. Vuyo Zungula, thank you so much, ATM leader, as we continue to take reaction. And they will keep coming in, 17 minutes after 8. I've got Gugu, who has stayed along, because it's important for us to clarify a few things. So just to start off at the very beginning, the budget is governed by the Monies Bills Act.
Yes.
Let's just start there. So what happened is the minister tables a proposed budget.
Yes.
So what we just also have to make the point, this is uncharted territory.
Yes.
The minister tables a proposed budget. Then within 16 days, then they must have a conversation. The Standing Committee on Finance must have a conversation, and then all of that must be wrapped up, right? What should have happened, which ordinarily happens anyway, then there is this process which we saw yesterday, the Standing Committee on Finance, where they essentially have input on what the budget that was proposed by the minister says. You know, they sort of give their input. It's always been that because the ANC has the majority, these things are smooth. You propose, they adopt, and we move on, they vote, and so on, it comes to being.
Mm-hmm.
However, there was always contestation, which is why I'm surprised parties did not do their homework.
Yes.
Because Section 8(3) and 4 of the Act, this is the Monies Bills Act, right, requires that the Standing Committee on Finance report on the fiscal framework to the Assembly within 16 days after the tabling of the national budget and or soon after it, and maybe a day or two afterwards. It doesn't matter. It's not really an issue. But the report must include a clear statement accepting, because this wording is important, accepting or amending the fiscal framework. What this means is that whatever outcome there is in that committee that sits before the voting, which is what happened today, must decide, the committee must decide, based on debate and so on within the committee and their own presentation, are we are accepting the minister's budget as is, mm-hmm. as in as is, fully as is, or are we going for the amendment? My understanding is that quite a number of the political parties were hoping for some adjustments there.
Yes.
A little bit of input here. No. Action SA says no. We are sort of happy with it. Our condition is that we do not want a VAT increase. Many others are saying different things, right? Songhees has just said, he said a very important line, but then says something else that's a little bit different later. But he said, we are still going to work on this, provided it's within the framework. And that's important. Provided it's within the framework, then that's fine. Except if they're hoping something outside of the framework can be added, that's not possible with what has just happened. Because what was voted on today,
yes,
is an adoption of a budget with no amendments or adjustments.
Which is as good as having it completely passed.
Correct. The framework, as it sits right now,
yes,
has adopted exactly what the minister presented to us when he presented his proposed budget. So, for those who want changes and little inputs, that bus has now left the station. That process was supposed to have happened yesterday, which they did. In technicality, they did. Lots of people brought in their proposals. But technically, what was supposed to happen in that instance, they were supposed to agree to say, therefore, because we want to add our 2 cents worth, we are not adopting it. We are amending it. It then must go back to the minister for sight. He has 48 hours. And then it must come back to Parliament. And then only then, with his own, I think there are other little comments, it's not even a debate, comments that he can add to that. And then it will go for voting. But what would then go to vote is the amendment where everybody has put in their bit. What we have now is not that.
Yes.
And I think that's where I think, to be fair, political parties did not do their work in understanding the parameters of what the law allows them. We do have the laws, actually, Gugu, in this country that allows parliamentarians who represent all of us to have their say.
Mm-hmm.
Because before then, this act, I think, was adopted 2009. Before then, you almost had this ministry that was treasury, that was just able to do exactly as they please.
Yes.
And at the time, there was an understanding that it's because you do not want instability, to the point of what Action SA is saying. But the law has room for all of that. You can still manage instability within the law, but make sure that whatever you think you want can actually happen. No agreement outside of Parliament's processes can happen.
And I think what you're raising here is such an educational process for so many of us, including the parliamentarians themselves. Mm. As you highlight, the process is actually what's in question now.
Correct.
Whether or not there was a good understanding of what options were actually available, the adoption versus the amendments.
So let's then put us. So that's now the technicality.
Yes.
The politics then gets interesting.
Yep.
It could as well be that whose fault is it that they didn't understand what they were doing? Mm. And who's to benefit if others don't understand?
Mm.
Could it be that those who didn't take the time to understand it, maybe they did understand it. Maybe they just don't want to tell us.
Exactly.
That they are very much in on what this is about. And they're very aware that nothing's going to change.
If that is the case, Ospimelo, then that should be concerning for us as South Africans, right?
That's
because it just means that they're prioritizing politicking and politics above the economic standing and fiscal standing of the economy and of the country. Because as Songe Zozibi mentioned something so critical there, that ultimately nobody's going to be completely happy with the budget speech. It's a give and take, and there will be an impasse.
But we must see the give and take in writing.
Yes.
There is no give and take that happens behind closed doors in some meeting on Saturday that does not reflect what the people have said. Whatever happened in those meetings just stays there.
What and can't come back to
we
be used
must,
within that
if
process.
Whatever happened in those private meetings must be reflected in what is actually in front of us. If that does not happen, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go quickly, take a quick break, and go to MK Party member in Parliament, Brian Molefe. Thank you so much for making time for us, Mr. Molefe. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Your reaction as the MK Party, we know that you are not happy with this outcome, but are you going to take legal action?
Well, we have not taken that decision yet. I think that it will be discussed in the MK Party.
Mm.
But it looks like some other parties may be taking legal action, so we may maybe even just join in.
All right. Mr. Molefe, maybe just from your own perspective as the MK Party, what's wrong with the process?
Well, the process is flawed because the law says that the fiscal, basically the budget must be brought to the committee, and the committee must either accept it or amend it. So we had a whole day meeting yesterday, and we did not properly amend or accept the report. What actually happened is that there is a man called Beasley from Action SA who made a proposal that, look, we will approve it on condition that in 30 days' time they fix it. Now, that is not part of the law that says you can make a conditional acceptance. And then the ANC latched on, jumped on to Beasley's proposal, and voted and pushed through the proposal. But the law does not provide for a conditional acceptance of the fiscal framework. And that is what our gripe is.
Yeah.
Secondly, the law says that the report must be brought to the assembly as it was brought today.
Mm.
Now, when we left the meeting yesterday, there was no report. They had not finished drafting it. So the report that is there in front of the House is not a report that we have agreed to present to the House. It is full of errors, mistakes. For example,
Can I put a span in the works, Mr. Molefe, there? Because if you have parliamentarians or the committee members who went ahead anyway and decided that they're going to adopt, but you're giving me an interesting take on this. You're saying actually it wasn't even clear. But if they went on to say they're adopting, I suppose the report didn't even matter at that point.
It looks like it. Mm. And that is the whole point, that it looks like they had to see this thing through at all costs, irrespective of what the legal requirements are, irrespective of what the procedural requirements are. The law is quite clear. Section 8.4 of the Amendment of Money Bills Act says that the committee must consider the report, the fiscal framework, and accept it or amend it. The act says accept or amend it. That doesn't say you can't reject it. Now, in the report, they wrote that we rejected the report. And we couldn't reject the report. It's legally impossible. So it's surprising as to how they wrote such a report and then brought it to the House and then bulldozed it.
Because the distinction here is that you have a report and there's something completely different, which is the framework. So the report is one thing, the framework is something else. And you're saying there was no clear decision as a committee to either accept it or amend it. That was vague.
Yes. So the report, the report says the committee accepts the framework.
Yeah.
But the report that says it accepts the framework is flawed. Yes.
Sure. Appreciate that explanation on your side. Thank you very much, MK Party, Member of Parliament, their reaction to what they believe happened there. I do have Vili Okamp, who's DA spokesperson. We had a chat very recently. You're back on the line again. Thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening. It's always nice to speak to you.
Mr. Okamp, you're going ahead. You've already released a statement. You're going to court.
Yes, we are definitely going to court. I think the whole process in the portfolio committee yesterday was so flawed. People did not know what they are supporting, what they are, what's been put on the table. The Democratic Alliance put a clear amendment to the fiscal framework. It was not even voted on. The amendments that we put forward are sound amendments, and they were there to stop this VAT increase. What Action SA has done and the IFP is they've supported the ANC with the fiscal framework. So you've got one of two choices. You either can amend the fiscal framework or you can adopt the fiscal framework, and that is what they've done. Action SA lied to the people of South Africa when they said that they have stopped this VAT increase. And you can see that if you go onto government's Twitter account from tonight, where they said that this fiscal framework has now passed, and a 0.5% VAT increase this year and a 0.5% VAT increase next year will now be implemented.
Yeah, because as it stands, what this means is that this parliament has adopted a fiscal framework that was exactly as it was presented by the minister, and that is what was adopted.
Precisely. Precisely. So they have been used by the ANC. I think the parties that voted for this today, Action SA from Herman Mashaba, Bossa from Musi Maimane, the Patriotic Alliance from Gayton McKenzie, Ryzen Zanzi of Zibi, they all voted in favor of this today. They must be taken, be responsible for this VAT increase for 2 years that we are now facing, because they supported this. And the Democratic Alliance stood firm in our opposition to this. So, yeah, it's a sad day for the people of South Africa that now has to pay more out of their pockets for politicking by smaller parties that wanted to be relevant and just did not understand the procedures in Parliament.
And are you hoping to get this on an urgent basis, Mr. Okamp?
Well, I believe that it would be urgent if the VAT increase is going to be implemented. You and me, whether we buy a blanket or whether we buy clothes for our children, are going to pay VAT on that. And how is government going to refund people paying VAT? There's just no way. So I believe that this will be an urgent matter. Our court papers is ready to go out. The affidavits has been signed. So the Democratic Alliance is going to throw everything at this to try and prevent this.
DA spokesperson Vili Okamp, thank you so much for your time. Let's take a quick break. I'll be back with Gugu in a short while.
Kaya Talk.
How much more?
On the street.
Information does anybody need?
On the air.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. Gugu also chose to stay. Thank you, Gugu, for staying. We come back to where you and I halted our conversation. As you can hear,
yes,
there is a lot of uncertainty with some political parties. Songhez Azibi saying that they never got legal opinion on this one. I suppose they are now going to do that. You're finding that more and more political parties did not do the homework. And take the responsibility of what it means to be sitting in that committee and be part of taking, you know, our word seriously, whatever it is that you voted for. So these political parties came with so-called proposals, and that's good. It was a good thing to do. However, as you can very clearly say here, they were not even compiled properly. What's supposed to happen is that there is supposed to be a statement that's actually written, right? And in that statement, you are supposed to upfront state, as the committee, we are amending or we are accepting. But that comes out of the process of discussions with their own proposals.
Mm-hmm.
That report, it's called then, they compile a report with whatever decision they've made, whether it's an adoption or whether it's an amendment. But it must say, so as a committee we've decided to adopt, or as a committee we've decided we are amending based on these issues.
Got you.
They call what they call a report. That report, then, if it is adopted, then today what happened was absolutely then fine. If it was going back for amendment, if they said, no, as a committee we would like to amend. In other words, our inputs, we want them in there. This is the report.
Mm-hmm.
It was then meant to go to the minister. He had 48 hours to have a look at that and then have a comment himself. He can add other things in there. And then it was supposed to come back to Parliament, and then the process would happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the technicality and the administration. Then there's the politics.
Mm.
To what extent do you think political parties, not just understood, but cared about their responsibility to look very closely at what the law says, based on the fact that there were negotiations here? Did everybody understand what they were negotiating?
Exactly.
And did everybody understand what the law says, what that act says? I think not.
I agree with you on this one, and you're quite right, because firstly, number one, I guess it also just shows the level of, you know, investment that members of parliament actually do need to show and have when you are MP to fully understand the rules and the regulations of the landscape, especially at a time, Ospimelo, where given the GNU, we saw this post-SONA, we saw this post the elections, ultimately there will be issues of contention. And this means that you actually need to heighten your level of awareness and understanding of the parliamentary procedures to make sure that you actually play by the rules. What is actually being exposed here as well, and funny enough, we were just commenting about this off air, is that, you know, even on Twitter, other parties, like the DA, being very, very dramatic and clear about the fact that we're challenging the 0.5% VAT increase. What are you challenging? The VAT increase can't be taken to court because the ministers put that there. But if you're challenging the court process, it's a different thing. Probably holds better grounds in terms of contestation. And I think, if anything, this is a very harsh but very strong and important lesson, not only for members of parliament themselves to actually understand what it is that they come and tell us publicly, mm-hmm. as they represent their political parties, mm-hmm. Versus what they can actually do. Otherwise, we'll find ourselves playing this constant back and forth of this party said this, they're shifting this narrative that way, hoping that it plays, you know, to the grandstanding and the politics of shifting their strength within the GNU. Meanwhile, you come back with egg on your face to say, you can't do that.
So, let me premise my next statement with this.
Okay.
There is no honor in politics.
Mm.
So, conversations about politics, first of all, let's just take that completely out.
Got you.
There is no honor in politics. Don't come and tell me Herman said that, this one said that, when they said it. No one cares. There is no honor in politics. Nobody cares here. These are all politicians. However, the ANC is the winner here. I don't know if the ANC didn't know the law. We don't know that.
We don't.
And whose fault is it that other people didn't follow? Or did they know the law and still pretended not to know the law? Because if you are politicking, there are all kinds of possibilities here, right?
Yes.
I can decide, I'm going with you, Gugu. Let's agree. I'm going to go with you. Come what may, you've got my vote. Yeah, I'll tell them things can go wrong in that process.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to support you.
Mm-hmm.
You are well aware of what you want. That's the ANC. You say to me, behind closed doors, come vote with me. We don't know what agreements they have. We do not know. All we know is what they've told us they've agreed on.
Yes.
Right? But we don't know what the deal is actually behind the agreement. We don't know.
If that's the case, Ospimelo, and you're right, this just goes
and I'm
back
not
to politics.
Saying that's the case.
Yes,
I'm
no,
just
no,
saying
no. You're right, actually.
It could be any of the two. We may find ourselves as an action essay that says we genuinely don't know. And if you are their constituency, you'll have to make up your mind. Whether do you think action essay went into this sort of not quite fully aware?
Mm.
Or do you think Action FSA went into this fully aware that they're just going to support the ANC for whatever deal and agreement they've had. They'll manage all of us and what we think of them by making this decision. Oksalayo, they would have been now in the mix in this new arrangement, and they would have been the kingmaker.
Doesn't this ultimately show then that if that were to be the case, mm-hmm. hypothetically speaking, mm-hmm. then it's never or not a government of national unity? Because, as you say, there's a leeway of perhaps deception, a lack of clear understanding of open communication of the procedure, so that every party knows ultimately what the end goal and objective is. But if I say I ultimately want this thing to go ahead, and whether you fully understand the terms and conditions that you need to comply with, mm-hmm. all I want ultimately and fundamentally is your vote, then that's concerning, because we don't want a country where fundamentally policies are going to be made up on that end. Yes, we want progress so that things are developed and things are implemented. Yes, we accept that not everybody is going to agree on the final outcomes of the voting. But you're right. As you said, there's no honor. Hey. Yeah. And so I guess this is also the lesson, because fundamentally we don't know. But I think it's important as well for us as South Africans to acknowledge that what we're seeing is not unique to us.
But I also want to...
Canada.
We need to also
Germany.
Call out those who are now putting on a halo. Because actually, there are no holy cows here.
Yeah.
The DA went into these negotiations and it was not about the VAT. It was about NHI.
Yes.
It was about the all the other bills, the Bella. They wanted to, in their negotiations, other things murkied waters. And we need to be clear. Just because they are telling us that it was only about the VAT is not true.
Yes.
Because in the negotiations, it was not only about the VAT. It was not only about the budget. Other policy issues crept into those discussions, which murkied the waters.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is that there are no holy cows. Mm. There are no heroes here. There are no angels here. There's no honor.
Mm-hmm.
The ANC, as I said, comes out victorious. Say what you will about them right now. They're coming out victorious. They got exactly what they want. Mm-hmm. They've managed to get pass through all of these people. Whether you believe what they believe, whatever you think happened between them and other political parties to get them to vote, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What matters now is that what the minister proposed is exactly what Parliament adopted today. That framework is exactly, to the T, is what Parliament today accepted.
And I think what you raise is such an interesting point, because should we see these court cases go ahead from the various party who then contest the process as well as the outcomes of the process, then that will also give us a lot more clarity as to where we go going forward, right? And if we do see the court saying, okay, well, you're right, we can make a U-turn and go back to try to follow the process adequately, but... Sheesh, Osphimelo, you're right. What we ultimately see is that the 1st of May, that will increase.
Absolutely.
The ANC has definitely gotten their thumbs up in terms of how they want the budget to be allocated. But I'm just intrigued if this might not be delayed even further, if the court battles will derail any progress, and the likelihood of the potential outcomes where the courts say, actually go back to the drawing board, especially when it comes to this particular voting process, to make sure that everyone is aligned in terms of the rules and the options that are available.
Mm.
And if it could potentially be precedent-setting to see an amendment then to the voting process, where you can amend and adopt, but that's a whole other procedure,
but,
I'm assuming.
But actually, the courts will have, I think and I hope, two things to say about all of this. Whatever the decision, first of all, that could Parliament just do its work?
Mm.
That's the first thing. I think the courts should just give them a lashing,
mm-hmm.
to say, can Parliament just make sure and parliamentarians do their job? And there must be a definite separation of powers. It is not the court's job to help you politic. The law is there. If you want to change the law, you draft a law that you want to change and take it through the processes in Parliament.
Yes.
You cannot pretend to misunderstand the law and keep coming to the courts.
Yes.
Simply because you guys do not want to do the work. And I would agree with the courts on this one. Essentially, can parliamentarians just do their job?
Mm.
And it's not good enough for any party, and it doesn't matter which party, how small or how big, to come and tell us,
mm.
after a day where we've spent watching them scream at each other,
mm.
throw insults at each other, on our backs, at the end of the day, this is not entertainment. You know, and sometimes I think we forget when we watch Parliament that it becomes so entertaining, so grand, and
theatrics.
The scale of the theatrics, that we forget. Folks, you are sitting there playing with our well-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
And you are coming on here and you come to tell us we will have to go back and ask, you know, and get counsel. You can't do that after the fact.
Exactly.
You should have done the work beforehand. And in fact, your constituencies need to know. It's also their job to tell their constituencies what they're going to do when they get in there. None of that happened. And I must say, this goes to all of them, including the EFF that contested. Did the EFF have a campaign prior to that,
mm-hmm.
telling their members what to look out for?
I think this is so interesting because it takes us then to MP Lessons 101, what it is in terms of the immersive progress and processes that they have to follow just to understand the rules and regulations of what it is that goes into their day-to-day jobs. On that note, though, Osphimelo, there's a Vuyiswa Ramokgopa has actually shared a tweet here that says, politics is a contact sport, and I think it speaks to what you said. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. From Mike Tyson. Huh?
Well,
a
quote drop from Mike. Gugu, thank you. What we will do, I promise you, tomorrow, what we still need to answer is then what? We're here now, and then what?
Exactly.
And also, what happens with whatever outcome the court gives us? That's a conversation we'll have tomorrow with some real experts, not myself.
voice note your point of view on WhatsApp.
063-688-0959.
Kaya.
959.
On the street. On the air.
All right. We continue, and we continue looking at the budget. And this time around, we have an excellent analyst who's going to assist us with understanding really what actually has gone into this framework. Because I think we've discussed enough of the processes now. We probably need to just dig deeper into what actually happened and went into this framework so that we understand, you know, where we all stand so far with where we are right now. Director at UCT's Development Finance Center, Dr. Ntanti Mtanti, thank you so much for making time for us. A very good evening and welcome to Point of View.
Good evening. Good evening, Pamela. Good evening to your listeners.
Dr. Mtanti, is South Africa having the right conversation with regards to the budget framework that we've all been discussing for the past couple of weeks?
I think the conversation is actually a bit off. I think that's an excellent question. It's a bit off. Because the ANC and National Treasury has been able to frame it as a lack of money. They haven't really highlighted how the so-called budget crisis is more of a symptom of a dysfunctional economy.
I'm sorry, I think we've lost you there. And when we discuss what you're saying as a dysfunctional economy, I suppose it then warrants that we completely reassess the policy itself and reconfigure, first of all, what it is that we want to get out of this budget, and number two, and also the policies, where we are right now, and how do we, from scratch, readjust that?
Yes, I think that's what we really need to look at. For about 10 years now, since the commodity price crash in 2014, the South African economy just hasn't been growing.
Mm.
We've been missing revenue estimates, and growth pretty much hasn't been there. The credit cycle, what we call the credit impulse, has been negative. The fiscal impulse has been negative, so continued government spending. And also, net exports have really been iffish. So the economy hasn't been growing because we really failed to redirect it. So what's happened is we're seeing a lot of symptoms of it. Obviously, the high unemployment rate, the depleting infrastructure across most towns and cities, right? Because there's pretty much a lack of investment. And obviously, the rise in debt ratio, the debt to GDP ratio.
Mm.
Yeah.
And so, in your view, what then would have to change?
Well, to change macroeconomic policy generally, our macroeconomic policies have not worked for South Africa. They haven't worked for the last 20, 30 years.
Mm.
And it's been shown with commodity prices relatively down, that our economic model really isn't working. And I think that's where we've got to start.
Yeah.
We've got to change the macroeconomic policies, both monetary, fiscal, exchange rate policy, and what we call macroprudential policy. All of it has to change.
And I suppose the most important part is, first of all, to agree that the entire macroeconomic policy itself has to be reworked. And you've listed there the things that we'd have to look at. Where would we start? Or at this point, we would have to rejig everything.
Yeah, we'd have to rejig everything. I mean, the country is at a crisis.
Yeah.
Virtually half the adult population doesn't work. If that's not a crisis, then I don't know what is. It's the country is facing a massive, massive crisis. So I think it's imperative for the government to look at what actually empirically works, right? And not necessarily to follow ideological paths at what actually works. How do you put people to work? How do you diversify into new industries? How do you diversify the export base? How do you actually grow economies within villages, towns, and cities? Yeah, I think that's the work that's actually got to go in. And what macroeconomic policy frameworks best suit that? What we've done, we've taken a macroeconomic policy framework of a developed country and superimposed it on a developing country. And they've got completely different dynamics and completely different imperatives, and it just simply doesn't work.
So ideally, what would one suited to our own challenges look like in your view?
Well, one of the things is we've got to structure an economy for the population we have, right? So one of the things we structured the economy as, it's a services economy with focusing on a lot of high finance, legal services, and all of that, right? Most of our population is not educated. Half of our kids don't finish matric. Of those that do finish, most don't progress to university, right? So we've got a fairly young, uneducated population. And the easiest way has generally been to absorb those people into higher productivity work, has been to expand the manufacturing sector. What we have seen in South Africa instead is deindustrialization and shrinking manufacturing jobs, right? And in turn, the bulk of our population cannot really participate in the sectors that have been expanding. Investment banking, legal services, healthcare. Those usually require highly skilled people, which we don't have enough of.
If we have to, first of all, as you said, you know, accept that we need to completely rejig this thing, it would take some time, though, to reindustrialize. I mean, I think we, in a way, we're quite intentional in deindustrialization. So we are here now where we almost have to start at zero. That would take some time, unless if you think otherwise.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I think changes in economic policy would translate to results in 18 months or so. 18 months, yeah. Within 5 years, you could have a very different economic picture. But you need to redirect resources to places where they can have the highest impact. Luckily, we do have some resources. It's just that mismanaged, and our economic policies are suboptimal.
So, with this current framework, is there anything in your view that's, I suppose, worth celebrating?
Currently, no. I mean, we've been doing the same thing literally for the last 10 years. Budget cuts, increases in taxes, right? We saw the first increase in taxes from 40 to 41%, the first top tax rate. Then we saw the increase to 45%. Then we had a VAT increase. All of those times, we were told the budget, the debt ratio would stabilize at 50%, Then there was a big issue, it would stabilize at 60%, and now it's going to stabilize at 80%. It hasn't stabilized, right?
Mm.
The country is becoming increasingly dysfunctional.
Mm.
It's becoming increasingly divided. There are people now pushing secession. Cities are falling apart. Industries are falling apart. Yes?
Mm.
But we still want to carry on doing the same thing. I mean, if we carry on doing the same thing, we've been doing it for 10 years. Mm. We've been getting the same results.
Mm.
As we carry on, with this fiscal framework that was passed,
mm.
what we're likely to see is the growth rate will be below the 2%
sure.
that they are projecting.
Mm.
So the economy might even fall into recession.
Sure.
Yes. The debt ratio will increase, right? And come next year, they'll be proposing more spending cuts or tax increases again. It's the same story. It's been the same story. The same story from different finance ministers literally over the last 10 years.
Wow. You have just clarified it so well for us. I really appreciate you giving us your time this evening, Director at UCT's Development Finance Center, Dr. Thanthi Mthanthi. And you know, this is where I would love your comments. 086-00-00959. Send us those voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. I hope you heard that. At the end of it all, outside the noise that we're hearing around the budget, I mean about around the VAT, outside the noise that we're hearing around procedural processes that happened yesterday, we have what we have now come to understand will be probably a budget that is going to probably take us to a recession, that is not going to do anything different to what we've been seeing for the past 10 years or so. And unless we are willing to accept that the policy framework that we've been on now needs a total revamp to address the fundamental issues that we have in this country, we are likely not to see the kind of change you and I want to see to get people working again.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.